thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Tanya and Beth and Janelle and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And we were just in Matthew 18, 10 through 20. And Tara has a lot of the letter P going here. She's got, I don't know what to put.
After I just said that.
You know, like pursuing, personal, protective, patient, and passion.
Yeah, the love of God and how in these... In this particular section, we can really see God's love for us. And on the break, just so first let me say it's about the parable of the lost sheep and the pursuit of going after the lost sheep, and then how to process discipline in the church, and then the promises that are given to us when we are willing to gather and pray in these situations. And Janelle was talking about love on break that I felt was appropriate. So Janelle, share with us what you had.
Yeah, I was just like, when we talked about personal love, Tara said something about that being love for one sheep in particular, that he was like willing to leave the 99 for just that one. And I thought that it was really interesting because when I was younger, I used to struggle with how can God love me just as much as he loves someone else, or love someone else just as much as he loved me without showing favoritism? That doesn't make sense. And this is a beautiful picture of how he loves one sheep so much that he would sacrifice being with the others to go find him, but it could have been any one of those sheep that he went to go find. But he loves each of them much enough, big enough to do that.
Yeah, and the awesome thing is about love, and the way I've explained it to my children when they were little, is that love is so big that the more you give it, the more there is. That's the crazy thing about love. Mm-hmm. And so with Michaela and Grant, you know, I can't love Grant the way I love Michaela, because Grant is Grantness and Michaela is Michaelaness, is the way I explained it to them. I love the full measure of Michaela in her ness and who she is, and the same with Grant and who he is. And that is how it is with the Father. Each of us uniquely in wonderfully, fearfully made. Mm-hmm. And his love is for us because of who we are, not because of what we do. It's because he created us, and that love is profound. And what he is trying to get the disciples to understand, because the beginning of this passage in Matthew 18, they're asking the question, who's going to be the greatest? Mm-hmm. And he is trying to get them to understand, you have to be willing to go and rescue. He is trying to show them that greatness isn't about being at the throne on high. It is about going and serving and taking care of one another. And so as we're looking at this, we're going to examine some of the things that we need to take care of and process. And so the process that he gives in this particular passage is one of the things we'll look at, but the protection, I want us to focus there first, because before we can get to the process, we have to understand what is it that we need to protect. If he is calling us to love with a personal, passionate, pursuing, protective, and I can't even remember all of them that I gave, and patient love, then we have got to be willing to do certain things with our own heart. And so as I was examining this, I personally have something in my life that I'm dealing with where I've had to come in and seriously do some serious discipline. And I had to really ask God questions about my heart and asking him to examine my heart. And so protective love has to ask the heart some really tough questions. And the first thing that must come out is I had to ask is, Lord, is my heart pure? And why I am doing what I'm doing? Why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? Why am I saying what I am saying? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is in my heart? And the challenge of seeing and seeking to make sure that my motives in my heart are pure. And that's tough. Because we already shared, I mean, Sandy was talking last time, you were actually speaking into my own sin. She's like, the first thing that comes to my mind is the spirit of judgment. Well, you know what? And this is not what Sandy said. This is what Tara's mind says.
But I was speaking of my own.
Well, you made that decision. You put yourself there. You're just going to have to live with the consequences. And I can't even believe I'm showing how ugly my heart really can be. But honestly and truly, that is something that can come out within me. And so I have to constantly go back before the Father and ask him, what's the motive of my heart?
Right.
And so I'm going to ask you guys, before I give the other ones that I had as heart checks, what are some things that you feel that you might have to check within your heart before you go in pursuit of that one?
Well, mine is judgment, you know, and the other time in fellowship at my house, we were talking about judgment, and of course, I'm good at saying, I remember in the Bible, of course, I couldn't give a passage, you know, I think it's in, they found it in Matthew, and it was like, judge and you shall be judged is one of them, but the other one is, God will judge you in the same manner as you judge, only to a more severe degree. Like, I know. And I'm like, that's what I did. I'm like, mine was like, oh, you know. Mm-hmm. So that has really mm-hmm. been striking my mm-hmm. heart a lot when that judgment comes to play. I think of that passage, you know. No, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I remembered, because Sandy, when I was going through that, when I was studying the Beatitudes, and I found the verse that says, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yes. We did that
and
one
going
too.
Back and how Tanya had said it, mm-hmm. that when she is discipling, that she has discovered that when she gives the mercy, the grace of God, mm-hmm. that the sheep doesn't want to wander or stray anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because mercy does triumph over judgment. Mm. And so that's good. All right. Anybody else? What do you feel that you have to guard within your heart?
I think one thing, God's revealing
to
me, is been through the judgment, been there. Mm. Now I think it's, well, God doesn't have favoritism. Mm-hmm. And is that one not worthy of my pursuit? So that I think that's something that God's getting with me, because we're all equal at the foot of the cross. God mm-hmm. calls us, and He'll put whomever in front of us that He desires us to go seek and bring back. And we just have to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. We do have
and
to be obedient.
Some people are easier than others, but
yes.
we're just called to go when He says go.
Yeah, we are, and that's important. We can't choose.
No.
Can we?
Nope.
Yeah. I think that's good. How about you two?
So I was thinking about that, and like, okay, when I feel like I have to go after somebody, it's like, am I doing it because I truly want to help them, or am I doing it because, okay, I'm good in that area now, so let me help you. You know what I mean? It's just, it is kind of that judgment.
A little
judgment.
Project, too, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah. A little project, but maybe building myself up.
Pride check.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly, in that area. And I'm just like, or maybe they're struggling in their marriage, and, you know, I want to say, okay, you're not being the wife you need to be, and then, okay, now I'm, you know, right. I'm good in that area now, so I can speak to that, but how long was it when I was not there, and mm-hmm. how long before I'm back there again?
Yeah. And how true does the Lord say that when we do approach a believer in sin, be careful not to fall into
the same sin.
Yes.
So important. That, these verses are like, when I read them, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, they weren't as powerful. They really are speaking to me loud
they do
right
speak.
Now.
It's just,
Well, because it's very easy to fall into sin.
Yes.
I found
yes.
that passage. It is in Matthew.
Gorgeous.
It's Matthew 7, 1 through 5.
And the Beatitudes.
Chapter 5?
Well,
chapter 7?
The 5 is, but that's the Sermon on the Mount, I guess I'm thinking.
But it's just judging others is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, whole section.
Well, and we get this, you know, at least this is what I do with the spiritual superiority.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm like, I don't have a clue. The longer I do this, the more clueless I am. But, you know, I know who has the answers, and let's just go to Him.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have found that's extremely dangerous within my own heart, and I don't even know that I had this down here, but now that you're talking, I'm being convicted, mm-hmm. is that I can allow my passion to be, or my passion may be in the right place, but so dogmatic that I scare the person. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't know how or yet to handle because they're not there yet.
Yeah.
So moving too fast and furious in my passion to think about where the sheep is at,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. and understanding their heart mm-hmm. and all.
And their journey,
mm-hmm. yes.
where they're at in that journey. I think for me at least, it is for everything comes back to selfishness and pride. And so whatever I want to like address someone or help them to see something, it's like, oh, well, I know because God has blessed me with great wisdom. And I definitely need a pride check every time. And usually that's why God has people ask me for advice when I have had the worst day in the world. And I know that there is no way that I can give them any kind of advice because it's not coming from me. It's from him.
Exactly. All right.
Pride always comes in, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It's a factor. It's a factor always. One of the things that really hit me was I have to make sure and ask myself, am I reacting out of something being triggered in me from a past experience? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so has part of my reaction been, and my children are constantly telling me I do this, that let's say I'm working through something as in like I'm writing about it or I'm in the position that I'm discipling somebody through something really difficult, that my passion for what I'm doing, that when I respond to my kids, I will be triggered at that same level and reacting on something that isn't where they're not even on the same line of what, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so making sure that what I'm reacting to isn't being triggered by something inside me that's causing me to react. And so being willing to step back and evaluate to make sure I'm not acting out of a trigger from something that has occurred in my life. And I know because I was in a circumstance at one point in my young 20s where I was in a very abusive relationship, that when I am in a situation where I know somebody is being abused, I can quickly react from that experience and respond before I take the time to step back and make sure it's not me coming out of my emotion. I need to make sure I'm reacting based on what I need to and rescuing that sheep. And so...
And literally in that moment, just ask God to expose, that we would all just ask God to expose whatever. Is there something in us? Is this, is this from past? Is this from previous? Is this something you want to root out in me? Is this not even related to them? And then at his command, follow.
It's so important.
But he puts us in those circumstances. To help us. Situations, to continue to reveal more.
Right, completely.
It reminds me a lot of a message that we heard in chapel a while ago. It was on marriage and relationships and how most couples bring baggage from previous fights to a current fight or things that they have frustrations with each other about, and that's what the fight becomes about. It's not about this, the issue of the moment. And you need to like deal with things as they come to you and not bring baggage to fights. It's something kind of similar to that.
And the awesome thing is the more we step out in faith, the more we'll see that he's shed. So when I was in my 20s, I reacted very strongly to situations that were abusive. Now that I'm like 25 years past that, I don't react that way anymore. But it was something I had to learn, and I had to ask God to work that out and shed it in me. And now I can actually get in and minister and see the sheep and not be looking at my own suffering, my own pain. That's the hope in that when we are willing to surrender to God and release it to him, he can do that work in us.
And he can do that in the moment, right?
He can.
And use a wounded person to help, you know, share his compassion, his heart with them, and at the same time heal both
sheep. It's amazing what he will do to restore a lost sheep. Isn't that amazing? Because that's still an area that in my heart that would need to be restored, and so he would be in the process of doing that. The other thing that God really has worked on me, because this is being my position at Grace, being the Dean of Women, I have to constantly discern, okay, what I'm hearing, is it hearsay? Is it a rumor? Is it truth? And I have to step back, I have to examine, and I have to take the time to research well enough to know so that I am not reacting out of just somebody chattering when they should not. And so really taking the time to go back and examine in my heart when I'm in the pursuit to go find out. Because so-and-so might say the lost sheep, the reason why they're lost is for this reason, but what we'll find out is really they're just looking for a new blade of grass. And so we have to make sure why that sheep has gone where that sheep is going. Taking time to go and find out. As Tanya, I think, said earlier, the story, and somebody else said the heart, I think it was Beth, taking that time to step back, evaluate, and get the truth. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is that, and we've all covered this very well, is that recognizing I cannot be totally holy if I'm confronting sin, if I'm acting out of my own sin.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Ooh.
And making sure
that, again.
And, all right, that I cannot I cannot be totally holy and confront sin mm-hmm. if I myself am in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still have to make sure my heart motive mm-hmm. is out of a servant heart, and that I'm not reacting out of a sinful heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so guarding against allowing sin to build up in me, because if I have sin built up in me, then there's no way I can go after the sheep in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so taking care of the sin within me.
That's good.
And that's a daily thing.
Oh, yes, I know. As a servant of God, just that has to be
moment
by moment.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
Yeah. Might start off good, but pretty soon that day starts happening and it's like, you know.
It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I'm praying through a situation, and I'm asking God, and I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm lost, and I have lost sheep. I've got to go and redeem.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to go get them, but I don't know what to do, and I don't even know how to do this. And this is something I was processing recently. I have no idea. And I heard in my heart, discipline and boundary lines bring pleasant places. And I'm like, oh, I know that. That's a verse. That's a Bible verse. I need to go look that up. So I Googled, and I think Janelle has it marked into Psalm 16, and Psalm 16, 6a is where this verse is found. 16, 6a. Could you read that for us?
Yeah, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
So it tells us, and this is believed to be a psalm of David, and he says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
Mm-hmm.
He is referring to God's boundary lines. And one of the things that it's important when we go and we gather the sheep, and the protection is helping them to understand that the boundary lines in the Lord provide us with a pleasant place. That when we live within the boundaries that God has given us, it's pleasant,
mm-hmm.
it's beautiful, it's restful.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you read further in that psalm, it'll say that you can rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go up to verse 4, Janelle, would you read for us Psalm 16, 4?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is choosing to go outside the boundary lines of what God has intended us to live in his choice of marriage and choice of things we put in our body and choice of talk, conversations, or anything, their boundary lines bring sorrow upon sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad place to be. Come back next week and we'll continue that dialogue.